If we are what we eat, then we are what is in those colorful packages of food that line the shelves of the nation's grocers. But that is only the beginning of the story, because we are also what our food eats. And that leads us to ask, what does our food eat?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now, get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Welcome to the 1377th edition of the Food Chain Radio Show. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. Folks, in the 1826 edition of the Psychology, Physiology of Taste, Jean Brillat Savarin wrote, "Tell me what you eat, and I will tell you what you are." Then in the 1863 edition of Spiritualism and Materialism, German philosopher Ludwig Feuerbach wrote, "A man is what he eats." Today, in the 1377th edition of The Food Chain, Michael Olson is jumping into the conversation by saying, if we are what we eat, then we are what we eat has eaten. Following that thought, it will take us deep into the soil where everything is eating everything. It is the great smorgasbord of life that we do not see and therefore just take for granted, like we do with all the food that fills the nation's grocer shelves. But if we really want to know what we are, we must come to grips with what our food eats. That is not an easy thing to do, because so much of what we eat now comes to the table wrapped in very fancy plastic packaging from thousands of miles away. What that food has eaten should be listed on the package's label, but that means we must trust to the truthfulness of whoever wrote the labels. And they are in the business of selling food to people they would never meet. There is only one way to know what food our food has eaten, and that is to look directly into the eyes of the farmer who grew that food. To ask him or her, aside from the farm, what's in that food? Aside from the farm itself, there is one place where one can shop and be guaranteed that the food for sale is real food from a real farmer. Food with its farmer's face on it. To introduce that market, we welcome Catherine Barr, Executive Director of the Monterey Bay Area Certified Farmers Markets. Catherine, welcome back to the Food Chain.
Thank you for having me, Michael. It's been a while.
Ladies and gentlemen, fair notice. Catherine is the manager of my Certified Farmers Market in Aptos, California. And nobody else owns that one but me. And we have shared many great conversations about food and farmers through the years. So I'll start another one right now. Chinese have a curse. May you live in interesting times. Well, in the interesting times we've had recently, with slivered onions, organic carrots, deli meats, lots of food contaminations, sicknesses, and recalls. Catherine, what's going on?
I know. Crazy times, you're right. It's interesting. I have a daughter who went to Cal Poly, and she studied food safety.
Wow.
And at the time she was studying food safety, we went, what the heck is that? I mean, she was ahead of her time. I mean, it was fantastic. So very interesting. She was an intern at Earthbound Farms when they had the recall on the spinach. Mm-hmm. And so she really got her feet wet. And it's amazing some of the stuff that, because it is all factory done, right?
Right.
And so you don't really have a lot of control over some of the things that happen in the factory. Where if you're at the farmer's market and you're dealing with the farmer or the person who is growing that food, you can ask them. You know, I mean, they have
you look into their eyes.
You got it.
So, and see what's in the food. There you go.
So as a consumer, you really need to take responsibility on what and where you're getting your food.
I'm wondering if our farms are getting too big.
They are. I really believe, and I believe this for several years, that a lot of these smaller farms will be bought out.
Sure. And just like all small businesses.
And had one. I don't know if you know the Coda Farms.
Yeah.
They're rice growers. They've been a member of our organization probably about 10 years. And Coda Farms sold their rice company to a larger rice company that is moving all the offices and so forth out of California. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of interesting to me that, you know, how things are kind of progressing. And I believe that smaller farms will be gone.
I don't think so. Mm. I think smaller farms are going to become increasingly more popular among those who like to know what they're eating. Because when that rice farm gets purchased by a larger rice farm, and their supervisory personnel go from here to someplace else, it just gets farther and farther and farther away.
Yeah.
And I think that's the essence of why we have trouble with these big factory food operations. I might be wrong, but you have trouble convincing me otherwise. I think when it gets right down to it, eventually our big farms will fail us.
Yeah, that's going to be a really interesting future discussion, Michael. Because I see it here locally where we have a lot of farms like up in the Davenport area, you know, past, you know, Santa Cruz. You know, some of their farmland is being taken away for the trails, you know.
Right.
I think it's going to be getting very dicey as far as for some of the smaller farms to find workers.
Find workers, find land, find everything.
We are experiencing that now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I had one farmer. Great kid. Just, I loved him. He did a beautiful job. But the guy who he rented the land from, he had 5 acres. And there were 5-acre plots. It was 55 acres. So all these small little farms.
Oh, good.
Five acres. Had their thing. And then the owner of the land decided, you know, this is really kind of hard for me and difficult.
A pain in the butt.
So I'm just going to go ahead and rent out all 55 acres to one person. And he did. So all these small little farms can't afford around here.
You know, I just did a show recently with a guy in Hawaii, Oahu, who bought up a bunch of former plantation farms and subdivided them up into, I guess, what you condominium farms.
Yes, right? Sure.
Yeah. And he's having a great success with it. He's got lines of people waiting to purchase their little condominium farm.
Yeah, yeah.
And they tend to be people from all over the world who love to grow and farm.
Interesting.
People from the Philippines and Thailand and whatnot.
Yeah.
People who know how to grow.
Yep.
And know how to do it themselves, too.
Sure.
So he seems to be doing really well with that. And I'm wondering why we couldn't do that here.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Uh-huh.
Oh, good. Well, yes, certified farmers markets. Take us back to the 1980s.
I'll take you back to the 1976.
1976, there you go.
When they started. So I think a lot of, you know, we've always had farmers markets.
Yes, but, forever.
You know, but we got kind of in the habit of going to the grocery store because it's a little more convenient. You save time and everything is just kind of right there. It was back in 1976 when four of the farmers here in the Santa Cruz County got together because they had little stores or little, you know, little, what do you call
it? Roadside stands.
Yeah, roadside stands. You know, and people would go and they'd you drive there and you get whatever. And then you drive to another one and you get whatever. And he says, let's all come together and have people come in one spot because everybody here that we know are growing different things. So we can provide a lot of product. And so that's what happened in 1976. So rest is history.
Where was that? Yes, I think I was around. I'm pretty sure I was. 76.
Yeah, I think I was still in high school.
Yeah.
It started started at Live Oak School.
Yeah.
Then we moved over.
You know, I have a photograph of one of the farmers at Live Oak School.
Who was it?
Jeff Larkey.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, Route 1.
Yeah, Route 1 Farms. Yes. In Metro Farm. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Jeff has been around for a long time, and he just retired a couple of years ago.
Good.
He's really missed.
So, from 76, four farmers get together in a school parking lot.
Right.
But there have always been farmers markets, right?
Yes, yeah.
And I mean, throughout history.
Yes.
Forever.
I have a great one. I got it from Sandy Loudon. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it was, and he sent it to me, and because I was doing a thing at the fairgrounds for the farmers markets, and he sent me this picture of Pacific Avenue and all these. Wagons and so forth are all backed up,
cool.
And you just go down the street and just see what's available to, you know, to buy. So,
so throughout human history,
oh, yeah.
There's always been farmers markets. Mm-hmm. But California did something really different
yes.
with their farmers markets.
Yes.
Because when it got right down to it, you never know right. when you go to a farmers market.
Correct.
What exactly the farmer has to sell or where it came from or anything.
Yes. Yeah. So what we did here in California, I was on the board, the Federation Board of Farmers Markets, for several years. And what we did is we came up with some rules and regulations basically to keep the integrity of what farmers markets are all about.
Now, explain integrity.
Integrity. So if you're at a certified farmers market, you have the California Agricultural Department. They come out to your farm. They see exactly what you're growing, how much of it that you should have as far as production, and when your production season is around. So if you see peaches at a certified farmers market in California, you know those peaches are not from California. So that's a kind of a good way to kind of see. And every certified farmer will have a certificate that shows exactly where his farm is, what he's farming, how much he's farming, and when it should be around, especially for farmers markets. Because everybody has a season, of mm-hmm. course. So that's really great. And then as a organization, we're also inspected at least twice, sometimes three times a year. They check scales. They check what's on your table. They check the product to see if it's, you know, okay to sell, you know, as far as it's not.
And this
coals.
Is from California Department of Food,
Food
and Ag.
Food and Ag, yes. Okay. And in CDFA. California. Only in California, yeah.
And only in California. Yeah. But why only in California?
Know. I don't know. Is it not, you know, other states, is it not that important? I don't know, Michael. You know, it just, as I told you before, I belong to a Facebook group called Successful Farmers Markets. And it's basically other farmers market managers who are either starting farmers markets or they're having issues with their farmers markets.
Throughout the country.
And like, how can I, you know, promote my market is basically what it is. And so it's interesting and fascinating to either get those questions or also those answers from other people from around the United States.
So they often say, as California goes, so goes the nation. Mm. You think?
Mm. I hope so. Because farmers markets really do need to be around.
Amen to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a place where you're guaranteed mm-hmm. real food
yep.
from a real farmer. Period. Guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Where else can you find that except at a California certified farmers market? That's a real big deal and a real good thing that California Department of Food and Agriculture has done for its small farmers, but also for people like me who love to eat real food from real farmers. We will be taking a very quick break, but when we come back, we'll be with Catherine Barr, who is the executive director of the Monterey Bay Area Certified Farmers Markets, and you, so do stay tuned.
now, back to What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Yes, What's Eating What? We're eating real food from real farmers that you're guaranteed to get if you shop at a California certified farmers markets. We're wondering, why only California? It seems like such a benefit to all concerned, except those who are trying to sell counterfeit products. So there's no room for them at these California certified farmers markets. So a real special offering. Let's see. So how you started in 1976, mm-hmm. there was one farmers market. There are now 182 certified farmers markets in the San Francisco Bay region.
I believe it. Yep.
182.
Yep.
How do you explain that incredible growth?
So when I started 30 years ago, just managing the market, we had probably close to about 400 certified farmers markets in California. Now it's over 900, 1,000, I'm sure. I think that's great. And I enjoy it as far as the competition.
What do you mean?
Well, so, you know, here, let's talk Santa Cruz County. So we have a lot of other farmers markets in Santa Cruz County now. Mm-hmm. And they're... As far as competition...
And for the folks who are listening elsewhere, we're talking about essentially Monterey Bay Area certified farmers markets, of which Catherine Bauer is the executive director. And you have how many more? You have
four. Marks. Yeah. So one in Santa Cruz County and three in Monterey County. So I think competition is good because it keeps you on your toes. You want to make sure that you're always ahead of that competition. And I think it's great when you have like-minded other market managers who want to keep that integrity at their farmers markets, you know, because there's been a few that is just like, what are you thinking? Why are you bringing this industry down to what you're trying to do here? And it's just like, you know, you're not doing the farmers any good, you're not doing yourself any good, and you're not doing the consumer any good. So there's been a few times where I've caught farmers that, you know, kind of supplemented their mm-hmm. growing time.
I've watched farmers watch you.
Yes. Yes. I don't know if that's a good thing, Michael, or a bad thing. You know, like, here she comes.
Yes. Here she comes. And when Catherine's walking, she's watching. And yep. Everybody's watching Catherine watch.
Watch them. Exactly. Them. Well, you
so
know.
So you're the guarantor.
Yes, yes, of course.
And the certified farmers markets guarantee real food from real farmers.
Yeah, that is my job. That is my job. Not only to promote farmers and farmers, California farmers, but also to protect the consumer. Because I want them to make sure that their experience at a farmers market is really good and that they want to come back. So that's the whole big thing right there, nutshell.
So if you don't have a mechanism for guaranteeing, mm-hmm. it isn't going to be guaranteed.
It's not going to be guaranteed, yeah. Now, you'll see, and you know, each farmer's market here in California has its own personality.
Oh,
so it
yeah.
depends on what community you are as what you're going to offer. Mm-hmm. So with my organization, you know, we really adhere to what farmer's markets were for, and that is for California farmers. You know, we do have a lot of other things, like we have, you know, people who sell fish and there's bakeries and so forth, but that's not our focus. You know, and it really rounds out the farmers market. That's great. But we want people to come and get raw material and go home and cook with your kids.
Amen.
That's what you have is the next generation coming up. You want them to eat well.
You know, I just did a show with a gal who's from University of North Carolina, and she did a study of baby foods.
Uh-huh.
Frightening. 651 commercial baby foods. And the thing about we city people these days is that we have no time for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're young parents...
Yeah, you want convenience.
You want convenience. Yeah. So we are now feeding babies out of plastic pouches.
Yes.
With nipples on them.
Yep, I've seen it.
I think of that because the children grow up not knowing what food looks mm-hmm. like or really even tastes like mm-hmm. or smells like.
Yeah.
frightening.
It is. It is. I'll tell you a little story about myself. So growing up in the Coast Guard, we moved quite a bit around the United States. And most of it was back east, North Carolina, Maryland, you know, Virginia. And I swear to God, when we moved out to California and I saw fresh vegetables, because I thought vegetables came out of a can. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, so,
you know, when my grandmother came to visit from California, she'd bring a suitcase of artichokes, Blenheim apricots, and sourdough bread. I guess we couldn't get it back there. I mean, isn't that crazy? But if she was like, she was like the Amazon of, you know, of...
Well, that's funny because my daughter now lives in Virginia, and that's exactly what we do is we carry suitcases...
Full of food.
Full of food.
Oh, my gosh. Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and we have that. We have food here. And but other places have food, too. And but no other place is organized to get that food from the farmer to the consumer like California is.
Yeah, but you know, I'm, you know, again looking on the, you know, the manager's Facebook, it's coming. It's slowly coming, but it's coming. You know, and I think a lot of people are getting better at like, yeah, we really do want to eat from somebody who grew our food. We do want to make that connection. And you'll see that at the Aptos Farmers Market here a lot.
A lot, and, sure. And, and at all the rest of the farmers markets as well.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think my farmers market is best at that.
Thank you.
So let's talk about how you organize a market so that it works. So farmers don't have time or money to do this themselves.
No, they don't. So no, that's why they hired me. Yeah.
Yeah. They hired you and your organization.
Yes. Yes. So basically with the farmers market, you know, you do need all the permits, the licenses, you know, and again, each community is different. You know, what happens in Aptos doesn't necessarily happen in here in Santa Cruz at the farmers markets here. So, you know, the first step is to get a certificate from the California Ag Department that allows you to hold a farmer's market.
CDFA.
Yep. And so in order to do that, you either need to be a government agency like a city, you need to be a nonprofit, which we are, or you need to be a farmer.
Now, how is your nonprofit organized? Is it a 501c3?
We're a California corporation, nonprofit corporation.
501c6.
Yes.
Okay, which is a member benefit organization.
Correct.
So you're organized to benefit your members, which are who?
Farmers. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was done a little before my time. So, you know, I would have done a little differently as far as maybe community-wise, but it's working out for us okay. I mean, we're going to celebrate our 50th anniversary next year, so good for us.
Good. So, in effect, you work for the farmers.
I do. Yep.
And the farmers work for you.
You bet.
So you have that relationship there, which must get very interesting.
You know, because I come from a farming background, so I know what a lot of these farmers are going through. I know it. You know, and farming, they call it farming. They don't call it making money. You know, that's, you know, that's the whole thing right there. You know, it's a labor of love with a lot of these people.
Yeah.
And I see multiple generations coming back to the farm. They've gone off for a while because, hey, the big city is calling. And then they come on back to the county or country. So
been at the big city long enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the state government, the CDA, California Department of Food and Agriculture, they set up a branch?
Yes.
That just
that deals with direct, what we call direct marketing. Farmers markets. Yeah.
Good. And they're there to help you guarantee.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Yep. Anytime I have an issue or a problem, that's the first, those are the first people I'll call.
Good. Yeah. So in effect, the Monterey Bay Area Certified Farmers Market is an umbrella organization to facilitate the farmers selling their food directly to consumers.
Correct. Good. Basically, what we do is just rent them a little space on market day, and they come and they... And I feel honored to do this for them because I will set up most of the stuff. So all they have to do is come, set up their stall, sell, talk to their friends, talk to their customers, and then break it down and go on.
That's where I wanted to go next. Because it's not just food.
No.
At all.
No. We're a community within a community.
And when you interact with a farmer, you don't, it's not just food you're talking about. It's really the glue that holds a community together.
Yes. Yeah. If you, it's interesting when you go to farmers markets, because again, like I say, each farmers market is adapts to their community, you know, where they're located, and
the personality of the community.
Exactly, because yeah, they're all different. You know, what I have sometimes at my market, you may not be seeing here in the Santa Cruz community markets, you know, or some of the Monterey markets. Again, it just depends on who your customer base is.
Yeah. So if you have a community of friendly people, you have a friendly farmer's market.
I hope so. But it's we want them to come back.
It's hard to be grumpy at a farmer's market.
Yes.
Because everybody, I think almost everybody, I've never seen a grumpy person shopping at the farmer's market.
I don't think you have, yeah. Yeah, we've all had our coffee by the time you got to eat.
We have our coffee market. And
we're walking around.
Around and we see people that we know or would like to know, and we talk and go from one stall to the next.
Exactly.
And all the food's different, and the farmers are different. And so how do people pick their farmer when they're shopping?
Okay, so what I tell people when they first come to a farmer's market, okay, because a lot of it is impulse buy. Don't do that. Go walk around a few times and just see what people are offering. Because you're going to see different things that are being offered, commodities. You're going to see them if they're organic or, you know, conventional, because we still have that. You could talk to the farmer, a person who's selling the food. They'll tell you things.
Tell you.
Yeah, and then you'll see prices and so forth. So just kind of get the vibe, you know, because everybody, like I say, is different.
Yeah, I'd like to pick this up down the line on how to be a good shopper.
Oh, yeah.
But tell us a little bit about the food trends. I mean, having been doing this since 1976, you must have seen trends.
Yes. In fact, I'm really excited about one that's coming up. I don't know if I should say it, but I'm going
to. Well, yes, of course.
Okay. So I don't know if you know what UBE is.
UBI.
UBE. UBI. It's from the Philippines, and it's a purple, it looks like a yam sweet potato.
Oh.
Okay. But the flesh inside is this deep, beautiful purple. And so you'll go, there's a couple of places here in Santa Cruz that have ube ice cream, which is like a deep purple.
Uh-huh.
They have ube, like baked goods and donuts.
Do you pronounce ube?
I guess it's ube, U-B-I, ube, ube, ubi, I don't
know.
Anyway, so one of my favorite farmers, the Borbas, you know, out of Aromas, I got him some of the ube tubers. And so now I'm hoping that they'll become the ube, you know, king and queen of California.
Oh, good.
Because they're not really grown here in California. That's the same thing when we started doing the kiwis. Kiwis came over. They were in the grocery stores. And they rotted in the grocery stores because people didn't know
what they were.
What do you do? What is this? You know, is it a fruit? Is it a vegetable? So a couple farmers down in the L.A. area started growing them because they're vines and you need a female male, you know, so great. Brought them to farmers markets where you can taste test, and the rest is history on that. Where do you go anywhere that nobody knows what a kiwi is?
Now, I have a similar story.
Okay.
Because I introduced one of the Borba workers to my feijoas.
Oh, yes.
Which are pineapple
guavas. Yes, guavas, yep.
And he said, I don't like it. Which is interesting because
that sounds like Paul.
Because everybody likes them,
yeah,
and
yeah,
they are delicious, and they were pretty exotic, a tropical
fruit. Oh yes, of course, yeah.
But
kiwis, pineapple, guavas, ube pretty soon. Yeah, another
and
one.
And they're like a root.
Yes. Root crop. Yeah. They grow like potatoes. The undercrop.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a wonderful winter food.
Yes. Yeah, I'm excited. So maybe next year. We'll see.
Tell us about seasonal foods then.
Yes, okay. So now we're getting right into the winter times, winter crops.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to see the apples, of course. The pears are really great this time of year. We have the nuts are coming on. We just had the pistachio girl was at the market. Pistachios are grown over in Piscinas area by Hollister. So that's a really good plus for us. And so all the root crops.
They're hot too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They have to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the pecans are coming next pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So you get all the nuts, you get all the...
Oh my God, I had a fresh pecan last year at the farmer's market.
There you go.
No difference. It's just, I mean, a complete difference from
what... From what regular in a bag at the store. Yeah, exactly. So all the root crops are there. Leafy green still. You'll see some different things. Garlic is coming on. But you know, you're going to find some really good things to eat during the wintertime too. Yeah.
Well, I always enjoy shopping at the market in the winter in the rain.
True. Well, come this Saturday. We'll be there in the rain.
Well, and I like that because the farmers are so appreciative.
Oh, yes.
Of
yes.
somebody who shows up.
Who comes out in the rain. Yes. You don't have to, you know, but we're so excited that you are there. Yeah. So.
And I have a sneaking suspicion that we should all adopt farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to come a time when those giant farms don't work so well. Mm-hmm. And we're going to need to have a farmer as a friend.
As a friend, that's right.
And a good way of doing that is to shop at the farmer's market in the rain when it's miserable and to smile when you hand them your money.
Yep. And say, hey, Farmer John, because they like it when you call them by their name.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing. You know, we do, you know, with farmer's markets, it takes 3 to 5 years for it to become a habit. So, you know, you really got to get these people going to your markets. So 3 to 5 years. And I think a lot of them, what happens is some of the farmers will remember your name. And that's like, you know, it's a little special, I guess, touch, you know, that they remember you, you know, they remember kind of like, oh, hey, I got the new peaches here. I know you like this kind.
They're my rock stars. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about certified farmers markets where you can get real food from real farmers guaranteed. By Catherine Barr. Mm-hmm. Do stay tuned.
You can earn a substantial income by farming for the city. All you need to do is take your crop to market and win the competition for the consumer dollars. There is a well-proven strategy for winning this competition. You will find it embedded in MetroFarm, the guide to growing in or near the city for the city.
Court ideas, Greg Williams.
There's a tremendous amount of useful information in MetroFarm for farming in or near the city.
Acres USA's Charles Walters.
MetroFarm tells how to convert an opportunity into a real going concern. Every chapter is organized around the logic of practicality. For every problem needing a solution, MetroFarm offers a progression of steps arranged in sequence so the desired goal is achieved.
Before you plant your seeds, pick up a copy of the Ben Franklin Book of the Year award-winning MetroFarm. Then plant your seeds and win the dollars. MetroFarm.com. MetroFarm.com.
We're on the farm with Joel Salatin.
Would you like to buy homemade soup, backyard chicken, and the neighbor's artisanal lunch meat? The Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund protects your right to acquire the food of your choice from the source of your choice. I'm Joel Salatin from Polyface Farm, and I urge you to defend the right of neighbors to engage in direct food commerce. Join today at farmtoconsumer.org, the food of your choice from the source of your choice. That's farmtoconsumer.org, farmtoconsumer.org. Thank you.
When you buy local American-grown flowers, flowers will grow and flourish in America. Hello, I'm Deborah Prinzing, author of Slow Flowers for Certified American-Grown Flowers. When you buy local flowers, you're helping our country's family farms reduce the transportation footprint of flowers and enjoy fresher, longer-lasting bouquets. So please, next time you shop for flowers, think local. Think Certified American-Grown Flowers. Visit AmericanGrownFlowers.org to learn more.
History buffs, this tale from Michael Olson's Tales from a Tin Can took place aboard the USS Dale during the opening moments, 7 December 1941.
As we left our berth and got underway, the deck force was still engaged in getting ready for combat. Fuller had the job of clearing the deck of all the wooden objects that had collected in port, so Fuller was making his way aft, just tossing stuff like a madman, when he came to the ice cream freeze. Before he could toss it over the side, one of the guys said, "Hey, wait a minute!" In a matter of seconds, the lock was broken and the ice cream distributed among the crew. So, what you saw that morning was the USS Dale steaming hell-bent out to the channel while the guys back aft were standing by their guns, eating ice cream, and watching World War II break out all around.
Tales from a Tin Can contains 424 tales by 44 sailors aboard the USS Dale, from Pearl Harbor to Tokyo Bay. Order your Father's Day copy at talesfromatincan.com. That's talesfromatincan.com.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, yes, well, we're talking food. That's what we do all the time, 1,377 times so far.
That's a lot.
And you know what? I don't think I've ever done the same show twice when it gets right down to it. I mean, I've done a lot of shows about farmers markets, but no two of them are the same.
No two of them are the same.
Just like no two markets are the same. So, Catherine Barris, the CEO of the Monterey Bay Area Certified Farmers Markets, you are the guarantor that people are going to get what they go to the farmers market to get, which is real food from real farmers, guaranteed. You have the state behind you?
I do. I have the county behind me as well.
You have the farmers behind you,
I have the farmers behind me. Yep. Yeah. Because, again, farmers want it, make a pleasant experience for you, and you have all these neighbors around you that are helping you do that. Sometimes you have a neighbor that may not be following the rules too well, and that just looks bad on everyone. So we try to keep that integrity going.
Tell us about your enforcement actions.
It's not pretty.
You don't have to.
No, it's, you know, because I do, you see me, I do walk around quite a bit. And sometimes.
When I see people looking at you.
Yeah, like, oh my gosh, she's coming. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I don't want to put the fear into them. I just want them to do it correctly. I want them to do it with integrity. I want them to do it so not only do your fellow farmers also have enjoy you being there. I want the customers to be available as far as, you know, what's there and what to buy, you know. And if you turn them off that way, they're not going to come, which also affects your neighbor, your farm neighbor. So what I'll do is I'll walk around, and if I see something on the table that doesn't look right, because I know what my farmers, I've been with them for so many years, they've been with the organization for so many years, I know what they have. So
you're really a family when it gets right down.
Correct,
you know,
correct.
You know everybody's character.
Yes. So if I see a fruit person and all of a sudden they got broccoli on their table, what's that all about? Let's look at this. So, you know, as a consumer, you can go ahead and ask that farmer for his certificate, and you can see exactly what he's growing and where he's growing it. And I like that. I think that's, you know, kind of keeps us on our toes for sure.
You know, I once looked at the certification for its organic vegetables.
Yes.
It's like a book.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it is. You have to have, with a farm like Live, you know, Live Earth, you have to have somebody just do that. Do all the paperwork. Because it would drive you crazy. Because I've done it, and it'll drive you crazy.
It's incredible, the documentation.
Yes.
Well, tell us about a particularly egregious enforcement action that Catherine Barr had to make.
We had this one gentleman. He kind of like a hothead, a little hothead, you know, things probably going
kind of a little macho,
You know, and I'm sure things were not maybe going well on the farm, and you know, people were quitting on him and so forth. And but the icing on the cake is like, well, there's some stuff on his table that is not like right and is not in the correct season, so that's like red flag one.
Fresh tomatoes in January,
What we do now because we can greenhouse,
hot house.
But at the time. No, there were some things that are like very questionable. And I said, okay, well, you know, you're going to need to take those off your table because you're not been approved to bring them. And when he started throwing the corn, I think that was the time where we kind of decided, well, maybe he's just not a good fit for our organization. So what I do is then I will call my county ag inspector. They will go out to that particular farm to look and to see if there's, you know, let's say there's passion fruit or something. And if he doesn't have passion fruit, well, where is it? Well, I just dug it up. Well, no, you just don't dig up passion fruit. But, okay, well, what we're going to do is you're going to take it off sale. You cannot sell this particular item. Sometimes you might get a fine. Sometimes if your certificate is suspended or expired or they take it back, revoked, you can't participate in any farmers markets in the state of California.
You know, one thing Thomas Jefferson noted about farmers so long ago was that it's hard to be a bad citizen and be a farmer. And I think, you know, you just gave a very good example. You just can't be a bad neighbor. You can't be a bad...
No, because it looks bad on all of us, you know, and and some of these organizations and markets have, you know, strive for years to make it the best place that you can go and get food.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the bottom line. That's, again, the nutshell right there, Michael.
Yeah. So be a bad citizen and Catherine Barr is going to kick you out of the market.
Don't throw corn.
Well, good. Let's talk about what it takes to be a good shopper at a farmer's market.
Yes.
And not just a shopper, but as a cultivator, as a shopper, a cultivator of farmers.
Okay.
Because I think that's, to me, is the responsibility of a good shopper at a farmer's market.
Yeah. So a couple things that we ask you to do in any farmer's market in the state of California, bring your own bags if you can. Bring small change, because a lot of farmers have change, but, you know, you come and the first thing you do is hand them a $100 bill. Oh, what is he going to do with that? It doesn't, you know, you're the first customer. So, you know, so small change, bring your own bags, leave your pets at home. You know, if it's a service dog, absolutely bring them. But, you know, pets are kind of unruly, and I've picked up enough stuff on the ground, you know, and of course we have a lot of kids.
And of course you get squashed too.
So, you know, and we have kids, you know, and sometimes dogs may not be friendly. So, you know, that's just, you know, come on, just do us a favor and keep your pets at home. Again, like I said, it's the first time at that farmer's market, go around and see what's available. You know, always bring a list. But sometimes you got that impulse buy, that's okay too, you know. So, yeah, it's family friendly, you know. We have music going on.
That's what my first bullet point here is: bring the family.
Yeah, bring the family. Bring that next generation. You know, show them where the food is grown.
Yes.
Talk to that farmer. You know, we do a lot of school kids. They come, you know, they do like I'm very proud that we have, you know, they come and do their little tour at the farmers markets.
Oh, good.
You know? Yeah, and there's usually like about 40, 50 with teachers and parents. And you see sometimes the parents going like, wow, I didn't know that. You know, so you're educating
parents.
People. Yes. And,
and then I guess when it gets right down to it, the essential core job of a farmer's market is to bring the farmers into the city.
Oh, yeah.
So that city people, and we city people are way out of it when it comes to our food, because all we know are the things that are wrapped up in plastic that come from thousands of
miles.
Yeah. Who knows?
Exactly.
Yeah. So much to say. So little time to...
Stop. I pressed the wrong button there.
Oh.
But at any rate, so bring the family, teach the children. It's an easy way of teaching your children about food and the nature of food, the smell of it, the feel of it, the texture of it. I feel for those babies who are being raised on baby pouch food.
Food, yes.
Oh, my God. Tough one.
Yeah.
Meet the farmers.
Yes. Yes. Meet them. We, again, with the school kids, they are fascinated by Lynn, the honey lady, because she has the bees, you know? And it's just like, so some of the questions some of these kids have for her are just hilarious. But one of them I love is like, well, have you ever been stung by a bee? And of course, Lynn says, yes, thousands of times. But she'll recount during the earthquake, the 89 earthquake. She was out in one of her hives, and I guess she was harvesting or something. She got stung over 300 times. Oof. She says she couldn't walk for 2 weeks because they got her feet. Yeah. So, I mean, but I said, were you, you know, frightened? She says, no, they're my bees. I mean, they were just upset. So I was just there, you know, so that was okay. But, you know, so again, kids are just fascinated. We have a ranch, Shock Dairy.
Shock Dairy, yeah.
Yeah, Shock Dairy. Love them. Again, another family farm. They've been farming for 18...
Don't tell anybody, but it's where I get whole real milk.
Milk, yes, yes. And they're the only ones who produce Monterey Jack cheese. Oh, guess what? Out of Monterey County. Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
So again, the kids are fascinated about the cows and how do you treat the cows and how, where do they live and do they have names? And of course, you know, Betsy, you know,
<You're>
make
right,
up
right.
some names for the kids. But
Old Bess.
Yeah, Old Bess. But yeah, so great. You know, it is a good, it's an eye opening, I think, for these kids. And I think they when they go home and they say, Mom, guess what I learned today about honey? And
yes.
It's just kind of like, oh, yeah.
And then asking questions,
mm-hmm.
not only about what is this,
yeah.
How do I
cook it?
How do
yes.
I prepare this?
Yes.
What is your favorite way of preparing this?
So, as you know, the Monterey Bay Certified Farmers Markets, we have a website. It's called Edible Paradise. And on there, there's probably over 6,000 recipes. Some of them are from the farmers themselves. Some of them are from our chefs that come and do cooking demonstrations. Annalise, who does the website for us, she finds these recipes that are really, you know, some of them are simple, some of them are pretty, you know, elaborate. But a lot of it is you can get the ingredients at the farmers market.
There you go.
Yeah, one stop shopping.
Real food.
You bet.
From real farmers,
you
right
bet.
There. I just recently was looking at beets.
Yes.
And then I asked the farmer, what do I do with the beet tops anyway?
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me and she says, so much better than anything you can get.
Yes.
Just cook them and eat them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I tried them.
Salt and pepper.
Salt and pepper. My God, they were delicious.
I usually put it in soup.
In soup, yeah.
Yeah,
with the beets.
Yeah, with beets. It's interesting how a lot of people, you know, well, they'll take the tops off the carrots or the beets or whatever. And you'll see a lot of the farmers will have like a discard box.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people get the greens for their rabbits or
sure,
you know,
sure.
Whatever. So it's kind of nice.
Whatever.
Yeah, so everybody's eating good.
And experiment with food.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Well, you know, get out of that. Get out of your box. You know, and again, eat seasonally, because some of the things that you have during the summertime, you're not going to have during the wintertime and vice
versa.
And
they don't taste as good in the winter as they do in the summer.
Michael.
Well, I'm thinking about how good soups and
uh-huh.
stews
yeah.
taste in the winter.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
They're just...
Better in the winter than in the summertime.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, you're eating more fruit and so forth during the summertime.
Right. Right, through the salad, lettuce salad
yes.
with tomatoes.
Yes.
Doesn't
yeah.
taste that good in the winter.
Yeah.
You know, so
there's, you'll find now for winter. Okay, so with farming, it's, you know, always, you know, new ideas, new products, new whatever. So we have one farmer who now does hydroponic lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
So we have these beautiful heads of lettuce during the wintertime here in, you
right,
know,
right.
in Salabo, you know, country of the world or county of the world. And you're going to see a lot more of that. We have a strawberry grower. And I'm seeing this trend because both of these people, they have beautiful greenhouses that were done for, guess what? Marijuana growing.
Sure.
And too many marijuana growers now, but that just, you know.
Look at this greenhouse.
I know, beautiful. Okay, so all the equipment's there. So what are you going to do with the equipment? Let's figure
try
out something
food.
Out. Well, might as well grow food. And so that's what some of these farmers are doing. Yeah.
And my last point yeah. about how to be a good farmer's market shopper is to tell your friends and neighbors.
You bet. You bet.
Become the salesperson
yes.
For the farmers.
Yeah. I sit sometimes at the information booth and... you know, oh, this is my first time here. And it's always like, oh, where are you from? Or, you know, how did you find out about us? Because we're always kind of curious, like, oh.
Yeah, yeah sure.
You know.
Customer.
Yes.
New customer.
Yes, new customer. So we try to treat them right.
Mm-hmm. But I think as shoppers, one of the most fun things in the world to do with food is to take a vine-ripened
tomato
yeah. to the neighbor and mm-hmm. say, look at this. Tomato that I got at the farmer's market.
Yeah.
And brag about it.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do. We love to talk about our food all the time because that's what we're thinking about all the time.
All the time, that's right.
So having something precious in terms of food to talk about with people is a real fun way of helping sell the world on farmers markets. Mm-hmm. What do you see in the future?
In our organization, I am seeing more of the kids coming back to the farm. And that's kind of nice because they've been away. They went to college or whatever. And they're bringing back all these inventive ideas to kind of up the ante as far as on the farm.
Like what?
Well, okay. Again, the hydroponics are just doing great. Mm-hmm. We're seeing more vertical.
Sure.
Because land, as you know, around here is just horribly expensive to rent. So we're seeing more vertical farming, which is like, that's kind of nice. A lot of the younger kids are doing more organics. Because when I started, 30 years ago, we were probably 70% conventional, 30% organic, and now it's flipped. 30 years it took it to flip. So.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Catherine Barr, who's the CEO of the Monterey Bay Area Certified Farmers Markets here in the Monterey Bay Area of California, talking about California's Certified Farmers Markets, where each and every one of us who shop at those Certified Farmers Markets is guaranteed to get real food from real farmers.
And you're keeping that farmer
in farming. So, thank you very much, Catherine. Remember out there, Michael Olson's second law of the food chain, the farther you go from the source of your food, the less control you have over what's in your food.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.